It's slime time today on Podcast Magoria. Hello and welcome to our next episode of Podcast Magoria's Halloween A to Z. My name's Autumn.
And I'm James.
And today we're feeling extra wiggly, extra gooey, ooh, slimy. Yeah.
I can't. I was trying really hard. I can't.
Yeah, and all of that. ASMR, you know.
Yeah.
The kids like.
That's right.
Because we are on our B episode, and B standing for the blob.
Blah, blah, blah.
One of my all-time, I'm just going to go ahead and say it, one of my all-time favorite horror movies of ever.
Yeah.
This is a movie that I will never get tired of seeing. It's a movie I think about often. It is such a big part of why I love horror and why I am the person I am today.
Wow.
Yes.
Holy mackerel.
The blob is very important to me.
The 1988 blob is also a big deal for me as well. We had a recorded tape of this movie.
Mm.
And anytime that I would have friends over for like a sleepover or something like that,
mm-hmm.
This was usually, if they like, because they, sleepovers, you gotta watch a scary movie.
Yeah.
And we had a ton of scary movies in my house, and there weren't too many that were necessarily kid friendly.
Yeah.
This one still maybe not so much.
It's borderline.
Yeah. Well, in all fairness, the tape that we had three movies on it.
Okay.
It was this. It was the first Nightmare on Elm Street.
Okay.
Night of the Demon.
Okay.
So it gets increasingly more adult.
Right. I mean, there's boobs in this.
Yeah, but not quite the same.
Yeah, not quite the same.
Yeah, and often, well, I mean, there's boobs in all three of those movies. But yeah, like this was definitely a movie that was like, yeah, you could probably get away with showing this one to your friends. and yeah, they would always be mortified because the effects in this
movie.
The
effects is what makes me go, this is borderline. I probably shouldn't have seen it as young as I did because I was definitely a toddler the first time I saw this. But as I said, it really shaped what I love about horror.
Yeah, I don't know how old I was when I saw this. I think it was maybe five, maybe six. Because, I mean, that's pretty much right around when I can remember watching horror movies.
Well, I specifically remember seeing it as a really young kid. And I say toddler because it was right when my memories were forming. But our cat Buster loved this movie too, but the first time he saw it really freaked him out. And I remember specifically I was taking a bath, playing around, and was like, I was playing the blob in the bathtub, okay? I was being the blob, and I was squishing around, and and he came in there, and yeah, I scared him with my sound effects, and because he really thought the blob was in the tub.
Okay.
Yeah, so, yes, that's my little childhood story of playing the blob because I played as the blob a lot.
That's wonderful. yeah, so to say the least, like, our review might be a little bit...
it's going to be biased as hell.
Yeah, and I had previously mentioned in the A episode that we were going to make a link to Saw, now Abominable Dr. Fibes. Of course, like, the plot of it is very similar to what the Saw movies would then employ. And then this movie, our Saw connection, is Shawnee Smith in it.
Little baby Shawnee
Smith. Yeah. I always kind of forget how she is in just like almost all of the movies I watched when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Like she was in so many movies.
Yeah. And now people are like, who's that? And then right, you go, like, well, she's Amanda in Saw. And they're like, who?
Right. And it's like, she was like the face of a generation for a while there. Yeah. It's bizarre. Like, again, like how she was in a ton of movies, this being one of them. But all right, so let's dig in to this. This movie is a tight hour and 25 minutes. And as I mentioned, it was released in 1988. Mm-hmm. It is 80s as fuck.
Yes. I mean, even with the opening credits being, you know, the kind of glowy text and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But I have to commend them. That font that they use.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, it's so yummy looking.
Yeah.
I love the font. I love the opening credit parts, but they are just so long.
Yes, it is a very long opening credit sequence. And so right from the start, I'll give a little criticism. The movie does have a handful of pacing issues.
Yeah.
In the opening credits definitely does it. Once you finally get through the incredibly long opening credits, it opens on a football game where we get introduced to two of our main characters, Meg, who's a cheerleader. Hey, it's Shawnee Smith. and then Paul, who's a football player.
Yes.
That classic all-American boy and girl love story.
Oh, how wonderful. Yeah. These have got to be our main characters.
That's right. Yeah, I like this. Scene. It already sets it up that this is, you know, this movie has a lot of humor to it, which is great, because if it was just straight horror, mm-hmm. it would be like probably a little bit too much, because the again the effects are pretty insane, mm-hmm. and so I think it would be hard to sit through if it was very serious.
Yeah, that is one thing that I absolutely love about this film, is the subtle humor mm-hmm. all throughout it. Like, even if it's just a little quip back from somebody, it there's a lightheartedness to it.
Yeah, it gets, like, there's a little bit of an air of almost like Killer Clowns with this movie, where it's just like, it's a novelty horror film without being, you know, leaning so hard that it becomes Killer Clowns.
Yeah.
You know, where it's still a proper monster movie. With the seriousness, but mm-hmm. definitely has some like moments where you go, and this opening scene is one of them where Paul was nervous about asking her out, and he's mm-hmm. like, oh, I gotta have the right timing, and then he ends up getting tackled by, like, it looks like half the fucking football team takes him out, and he looks at her and goes, you go out with me?
Yeah.
It's such a good, like,
it's
that's
cute.
Yeah, that it just draws you right in.
And
so really good. We are introduced to our other main character, Billy.
Brian.
Yeah, I called him Billy Badass.
So, yeah, you kept wanting to call him Billy Badass. Yeah. And
yes, Brian is riding his motorcycle. What a cool dude. And he goes to try to jump a bridge, and his motorcycle's maybe not exactly in the greatest condition.
Yeah, but he still tries to jump this bridge after his motorcycle's going halfway to the jump.
He could have easily stopped.
But he slid away from the bridge.
Oh, he could have done a cool Akira-type slide.
Yeah. And, I mean, thank God the freaking gap on the bridge isn't that big.
Yeah, and it's like a 6-foot drop. It's
he
hurts his leg a little bit, which that, by the way, gets quickly abandoned because mm-hmm. he's like limping and shit for maybe like the first, you know, 15 minutes of film, and then they just kind of forget that he hurt his leg. Homeless man sees him, you know, biff it, and gives a chuckle.
We always gotta have a homeless guy in these movies.
Yeah, that's an 80s film.
Right.
Yeah. So I think what I like about this movie is we very quickly get introduced to our main characters. And it's very clean.
Yeah.
Because it goes from this to then to a diner where we get introduced to a sheriff.
Yep, and the waitress. And he's a little interested in waitress. Yeah. So we get a lot of exposition for the characters without it being necessarily shoved down our throats.
Yeah, yeah.
We're just seeing the everyday lives of these folks.
Yeah, it eases you into what the character drive is for each one of them.
Yeah, personalities are like.
Yeah, it's very tight.
Yeah.
With that. And then finally,
yes,
we get to the action, which is later on a meteor crashes down and that old man, the old homeless man we saw a little bit ago, is there with his dog. Did he say his dog's name? Do we know what the dog's name? I'm gonna call dog Duke because
Duke.
That's just a classic.
That is.
That's a classic movie dog name. Duke. What was that?
I'd be surprised if it wasn't Duke, to be honest. In between him poking around with a meteorite and whatnot, we do see a little bit more exposition of the characters because we get to see Paul go to the pharmacy to buy some condoms.
Yeah.
So he getting ready for his day with Meg.
Yeah. This is a really funny scene because, like, it's the two football players, and while they're trying to get the gumption to pick up the condoms, a priest comes up.
Yeah.
who, by the way, I nickname Father Condom for the rest of the movie. He's like, oh, what are you doing, lads? And then, like, that's when the pharmacist comes up and just, like, ribbed or regular, I think.
Yeah.
But I misheard, and I thought he said ribbed or oregano. I'm like, whoa, that's really spicing up the evening.
Jeez.
Take her out for an Italian dinner.
Right. Give her the breadstick.
Dip it in the marinara. Oh, Jesus. But yeah, so it's an embarrassing moment, which I absolutely love.
And it shows more of the humor of the film, which I do. I appreciate it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. It's just, it's the movie's cozy.
Yeah, very cozy. Next up is also another favorite aspect of this film, which is they kind of do some cheeky little transitions here and there. And this is the beginning of it where we get to see the homeless man. He's starting to poke the meteorite.
Yeah.
And he picks up like this blob of stuff.
Yeah.
We don't know what it is at this point in the film. We don't know that's the blob.
That's right. Just meteor shit.
It's just meteor shit. But we quickly find out that it is sentient and it attacks.
Shoop! Onto his hand,
But as it attacks, we get a great transition of somebody slurping up some Jell-O.
Yes, that's so fun. Yay!
Yeah,
kids.
Love it. Love it.
our final bunch of main characters get introduced, which is Kevin, the brother of Meg, his buddy, who I did not write down his name. We're going to say Schmitzy.
It's Eddie and...
Okay, so Eddie is his name?
Eddie.
Yeah, because it's Kevin's brother.
Yeah,
okay,
Eddie
well, then I'll save Schmitzy for someone else. They're talking about they're like, oh, we're going to go see a movie tonight. The mom's like, what movie are we going to see? And it's like... Hacker Slasher 69.
Yeah.
And she's like, maybe you guys don't need to be going to watch that movie.
And then, of course, they make up the excuse, we'll go spend the night.
Yes.
And, like, mom couldn't see right through that. Duh.
And yet she doesn't.
And then, yet she just lets them go.
Mm-hmm.
So we get a little bit of... each family member.
Yeah.
We get a little bit of time with each family member as Meg gets ready for a date. And Paul shows up.
Yes.
He's meeting the family, meeting the little brother and the friend and the mom. And then she's like, well, before we leave, you have to meet my dad.
Yeah.
And lo and behold, her dad is the freaking pharmacist yep. that gave him the oregano condoms.
Oh, well, no, it wasn't the oregano, because the dad looks that's him right. dead in the eye and goes, ripped.
That's right.
So funny. Meg and Paul are driving to their date.
How he got out of that one.
I don't know. I just love that Meg's just like, you know, my dad's not usually like that.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, they're driving to their date, and out from the woods comes the screaming homeless man. And somewhere in the mix, Brian had run into him as well. But now they ran into the homeless man for real.
Yeah, actually.
And so, of course, they're just like, oh, well, we have to take him to the hospital. And they make Brian come along with, because they think that he somehow has something to do with the homeless man, since he was chasing him. A good chunk of the movie, Brian is kind of the scapegoat mm-hmm. of nonsense.
Well, yeah, because he's always getting in trouble.
Yeah,
and
he's got a leather jacket.
And oh my gosh, he's almost 18 too.
Oh yeah,
so.
Yeah. Oh well, oh. Yeah. Some stuff we glossed over was a little bit of Brian shit, but I mean, you know, yeah. it's that such stare. That's that yeah. cliche. He's like the kid with the leather jacket from Twin Peaks. It's that nonsense.
Yeah, and they put such an emphasis on that scene where he's like, "Oh, you're almost 18. You're going to get arrested now instead of put in juvie or whatever."
Yeah.
But yeah, that ultimately ends up not mattering in yeah. the story anyway, because
I'm so thankful for that
of stuff.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why did they put such an emphasis on that?
Yeah. Well, I think it's almost a red herring in a way, just simply because of the fact that a lot of other horror movies, even well after this one came out, mm-hmm. Stick with that trope. Because mm-hmm. if you think of, especially like slasher films and stuff, where it's very much like that, where they always, for some reason, pick, oh, that kid's troubled, so he's clearly the one that's hacking and slashing through all the cheerleaders.
Or yeah.
He's clearly the one that's, you know, that's the giant blob monster that's eating everybody. Like, I'm glad that they drop it pretty quick.
Yeah.
But also, things escalate exponentially.
Oh, yeah. From here on out?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's still a little slow for a while,
yes.
because they do get to the hospital mm-hmm. and they're like, oh, please, he's gotta be seen. And despite all this back and forth with the receptionist and her going, does he have insurance?
Oh, which, yeah.
I guess maybe in the 80s it wasn't as regulated. I don't know. But they still take him back
yeah.
despite all this back and forth.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Brian's just like, see y'all. These people clearly don't care about details. And so,
yeah.
So he fucks off.
And why does he need to stay anyway?
Right.
Why do the kids need to stay?
Yeah. Yeah. So Meg and Paul end up having to stay, I guess, to fill out paperwork for this complete stranger, which is a shit ton of paperwork, by the way.
Yeah.
It's a novel.
Well, I mean, that's how it was back
yeah.
then. Yeah. They are helping fill out the paperwork, and Meg's just like, oh, this is, or well, one of them, I can't remember which one said it, but they pretty much make a comment on, this is a crazy first date, ha ha.
Ha ha. Paul goes off to get a soda, and he sees the old man in the hospital bed, and he's kind of
riding around.
Mm-hmm. And he's just like, oh, there's something wrong. So he goes up close and looks at him and sees his throat is bulging. So he runs to get the doctor. And it's like, ah, he needs help immediately. And they pull back the blanket and the fucking guy is half dissolved.
Yeah. Yeah. This is where we start to see the amazing effects, because
yes.
As soon as he pulls that back and all that goo and just
yeah.
nastiness, is so amazing.
It's so good.
So amazing.
Yeah, like we're talking like the Thing levels
yes.
of just really fantastic practical effects.
And you just feel so icky seeing it too.
Yeah.
Not very many movies give me the actual ick
yeah.
when seeing the effects, but this movie does such a good job, and that's why it's one of my favorites.
Yes. Unfortunately, Paul finds himself dealing with a major Blob-lum.
Oh. Is that the phrase you came up with?
That was it. Yes. Hashtag blob-lum.
Oh, no. He does have a major blob-lum.
Yep. Meg realizes that Paul is taking an awfully long time to get a soda. Gee, does he not have exact change?
Well, it's because he's trying to call the cops. Mm-hmm. And as you said, he's got his blob-lum happening. Yeah. Because he doesn't freaking hear the thing behind him. Yeah. Going...
Which, you know, super cool effect. Like, anytime the blob is on screen, it's so freaking cool. Mm-hmm, I like how they have it go up on the ceiling and crawl across stuff.
And it doesn't just look like a blob of slime either. It actually does look like a creature.
Yeah, the way that they have it
moving around and just the texture of it, too. Because it's not like a normal slime texture. I don't know how to explain it, but it does look visceral and alive.
Yes. So she goes to check on him and well, now Meg's got a blob-lum.
Yeah, because we get another fantastic freaking special effect of Paul being eaten by the blob, and he's all reaching out, screaming. Yeah, and
this is the cover, guys.
Ah, it's so cool.
Yeah, his face dissolving back. Like, it's such an amazing shot.
And so horrifying, too. After a while, the police do arrive, and Meg's kind of talking to her dad, and nobody's really believing her story, even though, like, did they see the old man's body?
I don't know.
Where's Paul's body? What's going on?
But yeah, the sheriff flat out thinks that it's Brian.
Yeah.
And Brian was already, he's in the back of a cop car.
How would he have done that to anybody's body?
Yeah, for real. Yeah, like, I think I know the son of a bitch that's the reason this is happening. Okay, was he known for being good at chemistry?
Right.
Like, does his dad own a acid factory?
Like, right.
Is he the heir to the Ace Chemicals riches? Like, what's going on here? But yeah, it's ridiculous.
It's confusing.
Yes. Well, we need some more gooey, gooey moments. And so let's check in on some other folks. Hey, it's the other football player from earlier that got the, I think he got the oregano flavored condom. But it's make out lane, and there's some smooching happening.
Mm-hmm.
And he's just like, oh, baby, you want another drink? And she's like, yeah, okay.
Well, she's already pretty drunk. And
it's very clear,
she's not really wanting it, but he goes ahead and fixes it up. And just... every time this scene's coming up, I'm like, yes, I can't wait.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, because unfortunately, he's a creep.
He is a creep.
Yeah.
But this is what happens to you if you're a creep.
That's exactly right. Like, they should be showing this in schools. This is what happens. It's like, you know, and if listeners been listening or has ever been to an Alamo draft house, and it's like, this is what happens to you if you text. This needs to be what happens to you if you're a fucking creep groping or taking advantage of your date.
Yeah.
Yeah, because he gets back with the drinks. She's passed while she's... passed out.
Yeah, he's assuming she's passed out.
And decides that he's gonna get himself a feel, but he doesn't like what he grabs.
Uh-oh.
Looks like he's got himself a blob-lum.
Oh, this boob's a little more wet than usual. he seems to say to himself, blob attacks the creep and is so just good.
Yes.
Just so good. The blob's like, fuck you, creep.
That's right. Blob's the hero of the movie.
Really is. I love the blob.
Back at Meg's house, the mom's trying to calm her down. She's like, listen, like, I'm not crazy. You know, this is a very typical, you know, I'm not crazy moment for a main character.
Yeah, and the mom, of course, is retorting with, oh, no, everything's going to be okay.
Yeah, they caught Brian.
They're going to figure out what happened and how Paul died, and here's a sleeping pill.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
That's so the another thing we have going on is sleeping pills.
That's right. The mom leaves Meg alone to go to bed. Revealed that Meg did not take the sleeping pill. Good for her.
Yeah.
And then she ends up sneaking out of the house to do her own investigating.
Yep. And meanwhile, that blob is blobbing around.
He's, yep. Yeah, Blobbert makes it to the sewer. And Brian has a weird interaction with the deputy.
Yeah, they're trying to intimidate him into giving the details of the murders. And I think Brian's actually tormenting them because he licks his face.
Yeah, yeah, he licks
in a very sensual way.
Yeah, it's like, what the fuck? but yeah, the sheriff ends up telling the deputy, just let him go, because it's very obvious that that he has nothing to do with this. Yeah, sure, the kid's a delinquent. And yeah, sure, he'll be landing in jail at some point in time, but it's not for this.
Yeah.
So good. You know, it's rare for these kinds of movies to have the sheriff, you know, not be a complete douche.
Right.
You know, he actually has a brain in his head, as opposed to just being, you know, a foil for the main characters.
Right.
So Brian gets let loose. Meg ends up catching up with him and wants to talk to him about the situation. And Brian's just like, you basically fuck off. I don't want to have anything to do with this. They go into the diner and continue to discuss the situation.
She kind of tells Brian a little bit about it. And he's also not believing her.
Of course.
And the waitress, like, she's closing up.
Yeah.
She's got a date to get to with the sheriff. And the sheriff's on his way to go pick her up.
Yeah, he is.
As she's closing up for the night, she notices that the sink is clogged. And so she tries to unclog it. And the chef sees her struggling. Mm-hmm. And he's just like, I'll take care of it. Yeah. You go take care of them. Finish up for the night. But we can assume what that clog in that sink is.
Yep. Looks like they got themselves a drain problem.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Another fantastic shot of a
body getting sucked down a sink.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really cool. Also, when the blob shoots out of the sink.
Yes.
It's just so fucking cool. Like,
yeah, the
just
way that they filmed it was really ingenious.
Yes. Again, anytime that the blobs on the screen, it's just, even if you're not maybe a horror person, I mean, if you just like special effects, I mean, just as a film enthusiast, what they do with this is just so incredibly cool. They obviously, like, they filmed the blob upside down, like, you know, used gravity with upside down miniature set, and then they flipped the footage and then projected it, so it looks like it's happening there with the actors. It's a really neat, it's so, like, practical effects are always the way to go, especially in this case.
Yeah,
because if they would have tried to do some, you know, animation or whatever, because computer animation existed at this point.
Yeah, but
it would
definitely
have been shitty.
It would have been so bad.
Yeah. So, yeah, they just do a fantastic job with it. They all run, you know, try to escape and such. Fran, the waitress, she goes outside and immediately goes to a phone booth to call the sheriff. Unfortunately, she's having a phone booth blob-lum. And discovers, unfortunately, that her hero, the sheriff, had a little bit of a blob-lum of his own.
Yes.
Because we see his half-dissolved face floating around.
Yeah, had no idea that he was actually on his way there.
Yeah.
And yeah, it turns out the blob got him before he could even get there.
Oh, man. It was a good use of an off-screen kill.
Yes.
Like, because it's such a fucking jump scare with that. Brian and Meg, they hide in the freezer. And this is our first hint of a weakness with the blob.
Yeah, it looks like the blob doesn't like cold places very much, because it reaches in to try to get to Meg and Brian, but it immediately goes, ee!
Yeah.
Ee!
Yes.
Oh, it's
so
cold.
Oh, it's too cold.
I don't like it.
No.
It's cold.
Father Condoms happens to see the blob, and he goes inside the diner to investigate, and he ends up collecting a sample of the little bits of frozen blob at the freezer.
Yeah. Hmm. What's really weird about this whole scene, though, is when he sees the blob, he starts to, like, you know, start praying.
Yeah.
And the blob completely ignores him.
Yeah.
What's up with that?
Hmm. I didn't pick up on the fact that he was, not.
Yeah.
The blob didn't care.
Yeah. The blob must be really religious, I guess. He's like, oh, can't touch that guy.
He's an evangelical blob.
Yeah.
Meg and Brian, they go out to the woods to investigate where they think that the blob came from, ultimately where the homeless guy had come from. So they're like, okay, well, it all started here. So let's go check it out. And that's when they discover that, oh, shit, the government's already here.
Yeah,
in
the
hazmat suits.
The guys from E.T. are here.
That's right. It's connected universe.
They're like biocontainment agents that are there to investigate the meteor crash and to try to quarantine the area. And they kind of explain that, it's possible that it's a killer germ that was in this meteor. So that's why we've got to make sure that we investigate everything we can.
Yeah, this huge wild theory that, even connects to the end of the dinosaurs and all this shit. It's just like, holy God, this was not... we didn't expect this kind of explanation to be piled on this late into the movie. And also just like... didn't need this.
Because they're just like, it just took days for the dinosaurs to disappear with that meteor crash. Yeah. What do you think happened?
Checking back in. Oh, yeah, by the way, there was a couple other characters we haven't seen from in a little while, and that's Kevin and Ed.
Yeah.
What are they up to? Oh, yeah, they're watching this horror movie. Now, for a second there, you get this kind of jarring moment where it's like, what the fuck? Because it's suddenly two teenagers smooching and there's a hatchet man. And it's like, oh, no, someone got their movie in my movie. they're watching. They're at the movie theater. Forgot about these kids.
Yeah.
They're dealing with some loudmouth asshole blabbing away, spoiling all the kills. In the theater. I hope something happens to that guy.
Me too.
Asshole.
Yeah, what people an that, asshole.
People that talk in theaters should be done away with.
Send them to an island so they can all talk during the movie.
That's right, yeah.
but things are starting to get a little heated up in the projection room, and that's because the blob is totally blocking the air conditioning.
Yep. Looks like this theater has an AC... looks like this theater is having an AC blob-lum.
Yes, it is. Yeah, the projectionist is taken out pretty quickly by the blob. I'm assuming it's his manager that comes up to check up on him.
He's got a bow tie, so he must be a manager.
He's got to be. But he's also taken care of very quickly. Mm-hmm. And this allows the blob to just go haywire.
Yes.
I mean, every time the blob eats, which we haven't really mentioned, it grows and becomes more energetic. Yeah. And with these last two snacks, it grows and grows and busts out and starts attacking people in the theater, which causes just pure chaos.
Oh, yeah. While all this is going on, checking back in with Ryan and Meg, they've learned that the scientists have started putting most of the town already in quarantine at the town hall. Brian is just like, no thanks.
Yeah.
I don't want none of this.
Yeah.
And he's like, I think this is suspicious as fuck. And Meg's like, well, we should do what they say. And he's like, nah, y'all can keep it. they force them to get in the back of a van, but Brian, being the scamp that he is, picks the lock of the van door and zoops off into the woods.
Yeah, Meg continues her journey into town with the agents, and she quickly discovers that her brother is at the theater after running into her parents, and so she runs off trying to find him before the blob does, and she gets there just in time as the blob is going crazy and attacking the theater crowd. Yet again, another just great, fantastic blob scene of it going wild in the theater. It's just, I don't know necessarily what they did to make the blob look like it does.
Yeah, I meant to, like, I didn't look into any of the production stuff for this.
I know. I've never really looked into production stuff for it, but it's,
sometimes
it's,
I don't like. Like I think
I want the
is,
magic to
yeah,
stay.
Yeah.
Like, I want to just believe that this actually happened.
God knows, I'll probably look it up after recording this, but for this time being, I'm going to be ignorant. Ignorance is bliss, or ignorance is blob. Meg, Kevin, and his buddy escape from the theater into the sewer. We have another really cool blob sequence with this, where they get into the sewer and the manhole cover is over the sewer hole, and the blob's trying to get through. So it's like blob tentacles are grabbing at Meg's hair and dissolving it.
Yeah.
And it's just a really fucking cool shot.
I love it. And Brian's out in the woods and kind of stalking around, mm-hmm. and he hears the agents talk about this blob and mm-hmm. how it turns out that, oh, it's actually something that was made by us for biochemical warfare.
Yeah.
And, oh, it's been dormant in a satellite all these years.
Yeah, yowza. This was a lot to pack in.
Yeah, they pack in a lot in this one little scene of these agents talking.
Yeah.
And you're just like, wait,
away.
What?
Yeah, they just explain away the entire mess.
Yeah, even though, like, 2 seconds ago, they were totally playing it up as, we don't know what this is.
Yeah. Which,
what
I mean,
could have
know,
this been? Of course they're doing
agents,
that.
But good grief, that was such a weird, like it's, you had all this action and then burp. This is what I was talking about when I said that there's a little bit of a pacing issue, is anytime the scientist stuff kind of comes along, mm-hmm. it doesn't help the movie.
Yeah. Yeah. That's like one of my few critiques about the movie, is when the government's there, I kind of check out a little bit.
I feel like if they would have, if they didn't need to do the angle of it was man-made, mm-hmm. it could have just been
a mysterious entity,
and they still could have made the government agents villains, because there's plenty of other movies that do mm-hmm. the same kind of idea with,
like,
a virus.
They wanted the blob to use it as biochemical warfare.
they're going ahead and letting it tear up shit just because they want to see how it works.
Yeah,
and they were planning on destroying the entire town.
Yeah.
Like, that's, you know, Return of the Living Dead did it. Like, a lot of other movies have done it. That's usually how this functions. We didn't need the Cold War era warfare stuff. Like, they didn't need that.
Yeah, for sure.
Brian gets discovered by the scientists. We get a nice little banana chase. And Brian finally gets to jump the bridge.
Yes,
good job, Brian.
Yay, his little motorcycle didn't putter out this
that's
time.
Right. We get more fun in the sewer as Meg, Kevin, and Eddie are looking to get out. It is discovered also in the mix that the scientists are sealing off the sewer because they know the blob is in there, mm-hmm. so this is a good way to contain it. Problems ensue.
Yep. Some rats get eaten.
Yeah.
They go, eek, there's something in the water.
Yeah.
A kid gets eaten?
Yeah. Yeah. Eddie gets eaten. Kevin gets away because he can fit through the sewer drain to get out into the street. Meg, unfortunately, is just a little bit too big, so she's trapped in the sewer still. Brian shows up with his motorcycle in the sewer, and they ride around. He does some circus tricks. and then, of course, immediately Biff's, he's not good at sticking the landing, as it turns out. So he wrecks his bike. They're running. They run into another, scientist. Hey kids, it's Bill Moseley.
Did you skip over them jumping the blob?
Oh, well, that's what I mean by circus tricks.
You've got to use the phrase.
Oh, yes.
Cause he literally jumps the blob.
Yes. Yes. It's so ridiculous. Well,
it is silly.
he earns his Fonzie jacket.
Yes, he does.
They get to a point where they're about to get out of the sewer, but the main scientist is up top and just says, seal them in. And so they seal the manhole by putting a truck on top of it. And Brian notices that the Bill Moseley scientist has a fucking bazooka. And so he blasts his way out. This is when we get a huge, your typical government versus the good people of this town standoff, where Brian has got his hands on one of the machine guns. He's like, mm-hmm. these guys are the bad guys. Not like he's defending the blob, but he's like, these guys yeah. are also the problem.
Yeah, a little bit of everybody's the problem yeah. right now. Also, amongst all of this, we hear a phrase that we had never heard before.
Yes.
And we actually had to put on subtitles for a moment to see if we actually heard what the guy said. But they're going to shoot down into the sewer to shoot at the blob.
Yeah.
And he's, the guy says, "Let's scrag that son of a bitch." Yes. Never heard that phrase in my life,
yeah,
really, or at least I had never really paid attention to what he said yeah. before.
I think it's one of those things where, like, because this scientist is, like, I don't even think he's a scientist. I think he's just, like, military.
Yeah.
And so it's one of those things where, like, you know, commandos always have those, like, phrases.
Yeah, and I never pay attention. And yeah. just because I was having a review at this time, yeah. I was paying attention. Let's and I was scram. Like, I was like, what the hell does that even mean?
It sounds like something they would have said in Extra too.
Right.
The blob couldn't be fucked.
Yeah, things go, like, wacky doo-doo super-duper fast after yeah. the scragging comment yeah. because blob just bust out yeah. of the sewer yeah. huge as hell.
Yeah, Blobbert's like, scrag me, scrag you.
Yes. It is attacking everything, everyone,
yeah,
whatever is in the way.
Yeah, Father Condoms gets caught on fire,
yeah,
but luckily gets put out, and that's when Meg's like, oh, I can use this fire extinguisher against Blobbert. And and it kind of works.
Yeah, it kind of works. Gets Blobber distracted away from Brian, who he was attacking.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the townsfolk are in City Hall now. Yeah. Like, as I said, it is chaos right now. A little bit of everything is going
yeah,
on.
Yeah, it is pure Blobblemonium.
I don't even remember seeing Brian run off, but he does because he ends up coming back with a snowmaker.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, which that was alluded to very early on in the movie.
Very, very early on. And honestly, you wouldn't catch it if you weren't thinking of looking for yeah. this particular clue.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of, like, ski resort, like, advertisement stuff mm-hmm. for this town because yeah. it's a big ski yeah. resort, I guess.
Well, it used to be, but they haven't had snow in years.
So yeah.
They have to fake it with the snow machine.
Yeah.
Yeah. It again, it's one of those, like, that feels like a throwaway detail, but it's mm-hmm. actually the fucking linchpin of the entire movie.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately Blobber attacks Brian real hard, and Meg comes to the rescue. She has a machine gun, she's got a fucking bag full of grenades, and mm-hmm. her plan is get the blob to attack her so then she can do the grenades on the snowmaker and blow that bitch up mm-hmm. with some good old-fashioned snow. Some fire and ice.
Yes.
It doesn't go exactly to plan because she gets stuck on the truck when she was trying to run away. Luckily, Brian saves her. The damn thing gets blown up and frozen. Hooray! The day is saved.
No, not hooray, because now the blob's dead.
Oh, the poor blob.
It turned into crystals.
Oh. But we're forgetting a detail.
What?
We're forgetting something that we get reminded about because it checks in a little bit later after these events on a little revival tent. And in that revival tent is Father Condoms talking about the end days. And after he does his little speech, one of the ladies comes up and goes, "How do you know what's, you know, when the world's going to end and all that?" He goes, "Oh, good Lord's going to give me a sign." And then we see that he still has that little jar with a little sample of Blobbert. Also, if we were to remake this, I would use Rickety Cricket from It's Always Sunny
oh, yeah,
to be Father
of course.
Condoms.
But, oh, little Blob,
yeah,
he's
little feller.
Okay.
So stay tuned for the Blob 2. It didn't happen.
Well, I'm going to make it. As as the biggest fan of this movie,
yeah,
I'm going to make it.
I'm genuinely surprised, like, because, I mean, well, I mean, thankfully, there has not been a sequel. There's not been a remake.
I am surprised there hasn't been a remake.
Especially because, like, I mean, because this movie is sacred, but so was The Thing.
Right.
And that got...
Yeah.
That got its remake.
They could honestly not touch this particular remake. Because, mm-hmm. I mean, it was
a remake. Yeah.
They couldn't touch it, but I would hope that if they did want to finally make The Blob 2,
yeah,
that they would.
Oh, do you think that they would do it like they did with the thing, the third thing, if you want to be technical, where it's actually a prequel?
Maybe.
So they show, like, the actual, like, the making of The Blob.
Yeah.
And, like, the Cold War stuff. And that's why they send it up into space to begin with.
Maybe.
It was the only way to contain it.
Maybe. That'd be cool.
Yeah. I mean, that would be the only thing that'd be worth exploring.
Right.
Because I don't... or unless they fucking bring back Father Condoms and he he does unleash the blob.
I mean, like, it would be cool if we got to actually see from that point,
yeah,
the baby blob.
Yeah.
Like, it's like an Audrey 2 situation, yeah, where he's finding victims for baby blob.
Oh, maybe, yeah, he's kidnapping his disciples,
yeah,
and feeding them to...
Yeah.
He makes the cult of the blob.
Yeah, showing them God.
Oh,
and,
shit.
Nah.
Now, this is a cool idea. Like, and Shawnee Smith gets to come back.
Yeah, Shawnee gets to come back.
Like.
And go, you bitch.
Yeah.
And, yeah. Yeah.
Damn it. Okay, so a sequel actually maybe not be too bad, but they have to do practical effects.
Yes, please. Because obviously, like, come on, they didn't have that much money in the 80s and they were doing,
yeah,
all that.
Yeah, it was so flipping
good. It looks so good.
Yeah. So, obviously, verdict, absolutely loved this movie.
Yeah.
You couldn't tell from the beginning.
I don't think anybody had any other ideas in their mind that we don't like,
yeah,
this movie.
Could you imagine,
wow,
if we hated it? No, I did. Like, I will say, like, to kind of reference back to me showing it to people when I was young, there was friends, I ain't friends with them anymore for a reason, but that didn't think it was a good movie. And they, like, some of them thought it was boring.
What?
And I'm like, with the exception of the fucking scientist movies, this movie is, it hits the ground running.
Yeah.
Like, within the first 15 minutes, you're already knee deep in blobber.
Yeah. As soon as we're, like, established with our characters, mm-hmm, it shows you exactly what you're here for.
They, like, the makers of this movie understood the assignment.
Mm-hmm.
When you make a monster movie that's going to show the monster,
mm-hmm,
fucking... let's do this. Let's, mm-hmm, and because some monster movies are better if you barely ever see it.
Right.
But then there's some that from the fucking beginning of the film, let's go ahead and have it and let it loose. And this is a movie that's what you need.
Mm-hmm. I agree wholeheartedly.
Because it's not like the blob has character necessarily. So,
are you kidding me? This blob has so much character.
Okay, yeah, because I did notice that every time that it was doing a kill, it would look at the camera like it was an episode of The Office.
And it would go, wink!
Yeah, it would make a face. Mm.
But no, as I said, like, the way that they have the blob, it looks like something that is legit alive.
Yeah.
Living. And that's why I love this version, mm-hmm, because it just looks so cool and I'm so curious how they did it. And as it goes, it does seem to grow a little more sentience.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. Because it does, because initially it's just blob.
Yeah.
But then, yeah, as it gets bigger and stuff, like, it starts utilizing, like, mm-hmm, tentacles and stuff like that. And
right.
So there is some thought process happening here.
Yes.
So yeah, it's a fascinating creature. Definitely rush to see it if you've never seen this movie. Even if you have a hard time stomaching effect, like gore, because the effects are solid.
Yeah, it looks nasty,
yeah,
but you're too busy going, it looks cool.
Yeah. It's nasty and cool at the same time.
Yeah.
It makes its rounds in streaming.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God, I got to watch this movie so much as a kid because they used to show it on TV constantly,
oh, yeah,
on TNT and stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I don't know who who's got the streaming for it right now, because it comes and it goes.
It does come and go, yeah. But you can at least also watch the original,
yeah,
like most places,
yes,
because yeah, you'll be able to find that.
Yeah, well, I think it's dangerously close to public domain now.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, definitely, like, if you've never seen the original, I think it's worth a watch.
Yeah, check out either one.
It's a typical 50s fucking, you know, atomic era horror, mm-hmm, big monster movie. Like, you're going to be getting that classic feel with the original, but yeah, the remake, solid remake. I think it's one of those rare occurrences where the remake is better.
Yeah,
kind of like Invasion of Body Snatchers is one, yes, of those. Yeah, there's a handful of out there where, you know, as much as people hate on remakes, there are some that are genuinely better than the original. This one, I think, is better than the original.
Yes.
Especially if you're not a person that can handle the slowness of old, like, black and white movies, because,
mm-hmm,
it moves as slow as a blob, you know? Like, but all right, well, that brings us to the end of this episode of Podcast Magoria's Halloween A to Z. Our next episode, ran out of breath. Our next episode is our C episode, C for Cooties.
Ooh. A fun little zombie film.
Yeah,
we're getting into the zombie ones early this time.
Yeah, damn. Usually it's not until the back half where we start getting the zombies and vampires and shit. So zombies usually don't come before vampires list. So
true.
This is rare. We're in uncharted territory, folks. Tune in next time, see how we feel about that movie. Until next time, if you see something come crashing down from outer space, do yourself a favor, leave it alone. If I've learned anything from this movie, if I've learned anything from a certain segment in Creepshow, no matter what riches you think you might be getting from outer space, 9 times out of 10, it's either going to be a blob, it's going to be some sort of grass creature, or in the case of Joe Dirt, it's just a bunch of dookie. So stay away from the meteors, and most importantly, you must stay spooky.
Blah, blah, blah. Bye.
You've been listening to Podcast Magoria, hosted by Autumn Campbell and James Davis. Theme by James Davis. Like what you heard? Be sure to follow us wherever you get podcasts. Be sure to check out our social media and TikTok for additional content and spooky previews for future projects. And as always, stay spooky. Hehehehe